Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Coronado Global Resources first quarter investor call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a discussion of results from the CEO and CFO, followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Andrew Mooney, Head of Investor Relations, Treasury, and Business Development. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator, and thank you everyone for joining Coronado's first quarter investor call. Today, we released our quarterly report to the ASX and SEC, in which we outline our production and sales volumes, as well as other key information related to our safety and financial performance. A more detailed outline of our financial position and results will be released to the market on the 10th of May with our Form 10-Q earnings release. Today, I'm joined by our Managing Director and CEO, Gerry Spindler, and Group CFO, Gerhard Ziems. Within our report, you will see our notice regarding forward-looking statements and reconciliations of certain non-US GAAP financial measures. We encourage you to review these statements in conjunction with our other filings with the ASX and SEC. I also remind everyone that Coronado quotes all numbers in US dollars and metric tons, unless otherwise stated. With that, I'll now hand over to Gerry.
Thank you, Andrew. The first quarter of 2022 was a quarter marked by a series of records for Coronado. We achieved record safety results in our US operations, record group revenues, record realized pricing, and record liquidity. In addition, Coronado completed the first quarter with higher run-of-mine production, higher saleable production, and higher sales volumes than the prior quarter. We also completed the distribution to shareholders of our 2021 declared dividend in April, with the company remaining in a net cash position post-payment. Coronado was one of the first pure-play coal operators in the world to return to a net cash position following the impacts of COVID-19 and a lower price cycle. We reported a positive net cash position at our 31 December 2021 results, and we continue to build that balance month on month. Our balance sheet is strong, and we are delivering on our capital management plans as promised. Given our strong financial position, today I am pleased to announce plans to initiate a fixed dividend to shareholders as part of Coronado's distribution policy. Coronado expects to declare and distribute a half a cent US per CDI biannually to shareholders, a cent per CDI annually. While modest, the implementation of a fixed dividend component to the company's dividend policy reflects Coronado's confidence in its enhanced balance sheet, improved liquidity, and the strength of the coal markets, as well as its recent ratings upgrade. In setting our dividend policy, we aim to deliver stockholder returns while maintaining flexibility to pursue our strategic initiatives within prudent capital structure. Free cash flow at the discretion of our board of directors will be available for additional stockholder returns through special dividends and share buybacks as part of our broader capital management strategy. We believe this announcement provides greater certainty for shareholders on future distributions and fits within our existing policy to distribute 60 to 100% of free cash flow each year. Before we elaborate on our production and financial numbers, I will provide an overview of our first quarter's safety results. I am pleased to advise that reportable rates in both Australia and the U.S. reflect improvements compared to the same period in the prior year and continue to remain below the relevant industry averages. In Australia, the 12-month rolling average total reportable injury frequency rate at 31 March was 3.26, compared to a rate of 8.92 at the end of March 2021, reflecting a 62% year-on-year improvement. In the U.S., the 12-month rolling average total reportable incident rate was 1.97, compared to a rate of 2.81 in the prior year, reflecting a 30% year-on-year improvement. Quarterly safety statistics for the U.S. operations were the lowest in Coronado history. And in addition, the U.S. operations recorded no lost time injuries in the first quarter, a substantial and laudable achievement. New and revised health and safety initiatives across all Coronado operations continue to be implemented quarterly. In Australia, the implementation of fatal hazard and critical control verification programs have commenced. Felt leadership programs are in place. Contractor management alignment to Coronado's safety health management system has occurred. Effectiveness audits have taken place, and the development of a health and hygiene standard are among several initiatives implemented in recent times in Australia. In the U.S., the impacts on our workforce from COVID-19 are dissipating, and greater workforce availability is occurring. This has allowed for greater in-person training in the quarter, resulting in 8,000 hours of discretionary training that has helped set solid expectations for new hires and articulate Coronado's safety culture and focus. Today, I would also like to congratulate the workforce at our Logan complex, specifically the Lower War Eagle, Eagle No. 1, Muddy Bridge construction crew, and Saunders Preparation Plant divisions for being awarded the West Virginia Home Safety Association Awards for excellent safety performance in 2021. In addition, our Logan General Manager has been nominated to receive from the West Virginia Office of Miners Health and Safety the Director's Special Recognition Award. Turning to production, the group finished the first quarter with run-of-mine coal production, saleable production, and sales volumes all higher than the prior quarter. ROM coal production for the group was 6.7 million tons, 5% higher than the December quarter. Run-of-mine production from Curra of 3.5 million tons and from the U.S. operations of 3.2 million tons were 3.9% and 6.3% higher, respectively, compared to the prior quarter. Saleable production for the group of 4.2 million tons was 3.5% higher than the December quarter. March quarter saleable production from Curra of 2.7 million tons was 2.9% higher than the December quarter. Curra also moved 42.6 million bank cubic meters of waste, a 10% increase on the prior quarter. The commencement of the 7th Fleet at the Curra main mining area has occurred with a priority focus on waste removal. The U.S. operations saleable production of 1.6 million tons was 4.9% higher than the December quarter due to greater labor availability as the impacts from COVID-19 dissipate. The production increases in the U.S. operations occurred despite 3 days of planned downtime for maintenance work at the Buchanan mine to improve hoisting capacity. March quarter sales volumes for the group were 4.4 million tons, 1.4% higher than the December quarter. Sales from Curra of 2.8 million tons were consistent with prior quarter, and sales from the U.S. were 1.6 million tons, up nearly 5% on the prior quarter. Curra's focus for the June quarter and the remainder of 2022 is to continue implementing the One Curra plan to drive operational performance to the mine plan, thereby ensuring greater coal availability. Production rates for the mine are weighted to the second half of the year, with an elevated focus on waste removal and box cut works in the first half to improve dragline strike length and decongest the mine. Planned maintenance activities to one of Curve's draglines and the CHPP are planned for the June quarter. Highwall mining activities are scheduled for the second half of the year. The focus for U.S. operations is to continue to optimize production levels to meet the strong demand and continue to take advantage of the heightened price environment. Compared to other met coal producers, Coronado maintains a competitive advantage given its geographical diversification and the ability to access the Chinese market, combined with the heightened interest from European steel mills due to the Russian-Ukraine conflict. I'll now hand over to Gerhard to talk to our financial position and market outlook.
Thank you, Jerry, and good day, everybody on the line. Coronado delivered record revenues in the March quarter. Group revenues of $947 million were up 22% compared to the previous record this December quarter. 95.2% of all group revenues in the quarter were generated from met coal sales. Coronado also achieved a group record realized met coal pricing in the quarter. The average realized met coal price was $266 per ton, up 24% compared to the December quarter. The average realized price reflects a mixture of all FOB, FOR, and domestic sales in the quarter and across all grades of met coal sold. Let me also note that given the majority of our U.S. coal is sold on an FOR basis, if we convert it to an FOB basis for better comparisons or to peers, seaborne met coal realization would be approximately $40 to $50 per ton higher, U.S. dollars per ton higher, after taking the rail to port component into consideration. And as Jerry mentioned earlier, Coronado was one of the first pure-play coal companies to return to a net cash position following the recent low-price cycle, and we continue to remain so. Coronado's net cash position at the end of March was $257 million U.S. dollars. At the 31st March, Coronado maintained a record closing cash balance of $571 million and available liquidity of $671 million. In April, Coronado completed the payment of its full-year 2021 dividend to shareholders. The total dividend paid of $151 million U.S. dollars was fully funded from available cash, and Coronado remains in a net cash position post-distribution. After payment of the dividend, Coronado has returned U.S. dollars $870 million to shareholders since the IPO in 2018. On the 31st of March and 8th of April, respectively, both S&P and Moody's raised their corporate credit ratings for Coronado and additionally raised their ratings on our senior secured notes. Coronado's corporate credit rating from S&P is now B+, and from Moody's it's B1. First quarter capital expenditure for the group was $40 million US dollars, up 79% compared to the first quarter of 2021. Full year 2022 capital expenditure is expected to be higher than 2021 as per our previous guidance. The group is undertaking capital works to increase production rates in the second half of 2022 and in future years from both Australia and the U.S. And in relation to our costs, first quarter mining costs per ton sold for the group were $76.3 per ton. Higher mining costs per ton are primarily attributable to inflationary pressures. The commencement of the seventh sheet at Curragh Main focused on pre-strip activities, so we have some additional pre-strip here, about 10% more than last year, and the undertaking of identified maintenance activities at Buchanan. And despite all the increases, the company expects full-year cost to be within the market guidance range of $69 to $70 per ton, as production levels are weighted to the second half of 2022, as Jerry just highlighted. On coal markets, the Russia-Ukraine conflict pushed seaborne met coal prices to the highest level in history, with a premium global benchmark price, Australian benchmark price, reaching $670 per ton in March. And on the back of continued strong demand and the conflict in Europe, the average benchmark price index for the March quarter increased 32% over the prior quarter. And as I mentioned earlier, met coal prices and revenues for shipments from our U.S. and Australian operations reached record levels during the quarter and remain elevated due to strong global demand and disrupted Russian coal supply. Let me highlight here that Russia owns about 30% of global PCI and about 15% of global met coal supply here. Due to our seaborne coal contracts in general being on a three-month lag basis, we expect our June quarter to improve further. Despite the ongoing market uncertainty and tight supply, met coal prices have fallen from their mid-March record highs, but have maintained at levels more than double historical averages. COVID-19 lockdowns in China have also led to disruptions to logistics along the steel value chain, including supply of steel to end users, as well as supply of raw materials to steel mills, lowering domestic steel and met coal demand in the short term. Coronado met coal remains in high demand. Our high quality products from unique geographical diversification allows us to ship products into China from our U.S. operations, while the embargo on Australian source coal into China continues. Additionally, we are experiencing heightened requests for met coal from existing and new European customers. As I just highlighted, that's just result of the conflict in Europe and Russia's contribution to the seaborne market. Coronado expects met coal demand to continue to be positive in 2022, matched by improved supply from both Australia and Mongolia. Prices are expected to moderate from their current highs, but remain supported by continued strong met coal demand. Trade constraints with respect to China and Russia and high energy costs benefiting thermal coal prices, providing support in the floor to met coal prices. Look, I'll now provide some commentary on our capital management plans and distribution policy. Coronado, as in the past, is committed to a balanced capital management plan that involves four key aspects. Number one, maintaining a strong balance sheet. Number two, pursuing organic growth opportunities. Number three, pursuing accretive inorganic growth opportunities. And number four, distributions to shareholders. Given our current robust financial position, Coronado today is announcing its plans to initiate a biannual fixed dividend of half a U.S. cent per CDI, equating to 1 cent per CDI per annum. The company expects to distribute fixed dividend payments following the release of Coronado's half-year and full-year results in accordance with the acceptable timelines as required by the ASX. The payment of a fixed dividend will be in addition to a biannual variable dividend, which will continue to be based on our distribution policy to pay between 60 and 100% of free cash flow per annum. The fixed dividend, as announced today, is a component of this existing distribution policy. Coronado's variable dividend may take the form of cash dividends, share buybacks, and other distributions. All distributions, either fixed or variable, are subject to, amongst other matters, the board discretion, of course. I just need to highlight this. Dividends, including fixed dividends, will initially remain unfranked until sufficient franking credits are accumulated by the company. And I will now hand back to the operator to take any questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. And if you're on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Paul Young from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, morning, Jerry and Gerhard. Thanks for the call. First question is on Curragh. Can you just step through, just high level, what the One Curragh plan is? And then also, just to confirm that the guidance for Curragh this year on saleable coal production is still 12 million tonnes, and if that is the case, what does that imply for the second half run rate? Thank you.
The one CURA plan, which has been instituted by Doug Thompson, is of course complicated in its detail. So I'll try to do justice and brush over the high points. As you know, CURA is managed through a number of contractors. And the one CURA plan is a way of coordinating and organizing the efforts of the contractors in a way that has never really been done before, but has promised distinct and significant benefits in efficiency and contractor coordination. The contractors are, in fact, communicating with each other and communicating with us, and we with them. And adherence to a mine plan, which is reviewed and cleared with every contractor, is key to the success of this arrangement. We're very pleased with the results so far. I am. I know Doug should be. And I think that this is, frankly, a breakthrough step in establishing CURA as the efficient mine it should be. The production rates for the rest of the year do bring us to a little over 12 million tons of production for the year. And this, of course, implies that the third and fourth quarter are the significant quarters that bring in the coal. There is significant coal release in those quarters. I won't give guidance to the exact amount, but the first two quarters the second quarter will remain about the same as the first quarter, and the third quarter would be significantly higher, with the fourth quarter a little higher yet.
Okay, thanks, Gerry. I might be turning to the met coal market, and just fascinating, of course, and tragic at the same time, what's happening with the Russian coal situation. They export about 20 million tons of PCI per annum. Most of that goes to Europe. With your discussions with the European steel mills, what are they telling you as far as what product from Russia is actually flowing into Europe at the moment?
Yeah, let me respond specifically. Europe imports about 10% of met coal from Russia and 30% of PCI. 30% of their kind of overall PCI consumption comes out of Russia, so it's profound. That's coming out of Europe. And Paul, as you may know, the embargo, the European Union's embargo on Russian coal comes into effect only in August. So we don't really see that embargo yet. So that will put more pressure on, will give the met coal prices more support. One other thing that is really important to highlight, I mentioned that in my speech here a little bit, that thermal coal prices are up, but PCI relativities to the low volatile benchmark have increased as well. Normally PCI sits at about 73% to the benchmark. It now sits at 92%, reflecting exactly what I said. Russia owns 30% of global met coal supply, and a profound part of that goes into Europe.
Yeah, thanks, Gerhard. Last question. Again, interested in the rank of the capital allocation with inorganic opportunities sort of sitting, value creative inorganic opportunities sitting above, returns to shareholders. Just, there's a lot of noise, of course, in the market at the moment with respect to, potential large open cut divestments in the Bowen Basin, potentially being announced or, processes run. From a balance sheet standpoint, Gerhard, where do you think you need to get your net cash position to before, so you're in a position to really have a hard look at these, at some of these higher quality sort of open cuts that might come to market?
No, look, I think our balance sheet is already quite strong, so I mean, when we look at it, our net cash position, and to be quite honest, even after the dividend, we are in a very, very strong net cash position. I think that's one aspect, but there's other means where you can look at inorganic growth or organic growth. Yeah. So I think we're already very strong. It always depends on the things you look at, Paul.
Yep, understood. Let okay, that's it. Sorry. Yep, Jerry, please.
Let me add to that that the opportunities for organic growth will be internally funded. And right now, obviously in this kind of market, good buys are hard to find. As we've said, there's no such thing as a good buy on a bad property. And we're not going to hold a war chest or a hope chest just in case something comes along. So it will be available for distribution.
Great, that is clear. Thank you. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Sam McGovern from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hey, guys. Good evening. Just with regard to the bonds, you guys obviously had the tender during the first quarter, as part of your dividend that you planned. I think coming up in May, the year resets where you can then claw 10%. At a price meaningfully below where the bonds trade currently. Do you guys plan to exercise that, in the second quarter? Or do you expect that more like a third quarter thing, or is that not something you're contemplating at this time?
Mm. Yeah, look, Sam, we just redeemed 10% of the bonds in November, and we need to pass 12 months until we can do the second tranche, another 10%. And yes, that's definitely an option for us to buy another $35 million back out of the bonds.
That's great. Thanks so much. I'll pass it on.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Chen Zhang from Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Good morning, Jerry and Gihaz. Thank you. Just a few questions from me, please. A follow-up post question for the Russia and Ukraine situation. Just wonder any opportunities from your U.S. operations or from Kara of selling to Europe? Thank you. That's the first question.
Yeah, in general, what you see across the market, including us, is there's increased demand out of Europe for met coal, and that's quite profound even days before this conflict started. I think on previous calls I mentioned that we received a number of phone calls from customers, existing customers, and customers we haven't heard from before. So there is increased demand out of Europe. As China has at the moment retreated from the market, China is very quiet at the moment, and you can see that's also reflected in a relatively low CFR China price. Europe is really supporting the current price. So yes, you will see a lot of diversion away from China right now into the European market from all met coal producers, including us.
Right. Thanks for that. Second question in regards to the change of dividend policy, US 1 cent per CDI, inclusive of your current dividend policy, it seems immaterial by comparing, the free cash flow per share. Just wondering what's the rationale of doing that, because by looking at on the absolute amount to compare with the free cash flow per share, it seems not going to move a needle. Thank you.
It is an expression of the confidence we have in the strength of the balance sheet and the, frankly, the durability of our current operating circumstance. We don't make a commitment for a permanent dividend lightly. And in doing so, we have to accommodate foreseeable vagaries in the market. And we want to communicate to the market our confidence that even with a fluctuating market, even with considerable backwardation in coal prices, as you look out 5 years, we believe we have an operating structure and a balance sheet that supports the kind of permanence that you see in this dividend.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that, Jerry. Last question just on your cost. we've seen most of miners for their March quarter, they either increased the cost guidance or their cost is above the guidance. I'm just wondering what kind of cost pressure for your Australia operations, Kara, and US operations, what kind of cost pressure you experience the most? Is that from diesel or from labor? Have you experienced any labor shortage from US and from Kara, et cetera? Or just generally speaking, just raw material pressure? Mm. Thank you.
Yeah. Let me highlight here also that our costs are only marginally higher than budget, where we factored in inflation, budget in quarter one, 2022. The important one here is that really production is weighted to the second half of the year. So we should expect costs to come back within the guidance range of $69 to $71 per ton. We have had some quarter one issues, inflation, you pointed it out, absolutely, probably higher inflation than anticipated, particularly in fuel, but also other consumables and other supplies. We also had the commencement of the seventh fleet at Kara that was focused on waste removal and profoundly more than last year. We had 3 days downtime at Buchanan to improve our hoisting capabilities. In general, Kara's waste movement in quarter one versus quarter four, as an example, was 10% higher. So these are all impacts on costs. So it's not, given all of this, I would say we're still within the guidance range for the full year.
Okay, thanks. Thanks for that. I'll pass it on. Thank you.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Tony Mitchell from Ord Minnett. Please go ahead.
My question's been answered, but I'd just like to know, what's your opinion on thermal prices going forward?
On thermal
prices? Go
ahead.
You can see the high prices right now. I mean, it's contrary to what the market would like to see. I mean, prices are 5-6 times higher than this time last year. And a lot of that is driven also by what we see in Europe. But you can see without getting political here, there's no point, but the previous concept of outsourcing fossil fuel production to Russia has failed. It's a failed concept. And the European Union and the UK and the US, they all have embarked on that concept to, improve their renewable statistics, if you like, and outsource a lot of fossil fuel production to Russia. That's a failed concept, and therefore you see now that reversing, and you see a lot of European countries, including Germany, increasing their own coal production where they can, and if not, importing more out of Australia. And therefore, I guess we're going to see some support for thermal coal for the time being, for the next foreseeable future. It's also driven by the extremely high gas prices we see in the market. That was before the Russia conflict. Russia owns about 18% of global gas. That has a further impact on global gas prices, and the higher gas prices are, the higher thermal coal prices are going to be. So we will continue to see a lot of support for thermal coal as well. But look, we are a met coal producer. We are not looking too much on thermal coal, but that's of course something we keep an eye on as well.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Your next question is a follow-up from Paul Young from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
US coal sales, a percentage of what was domestic versus export. I'm intrigued by, the 2 to 2.5 million tonnes or thereabouts of domestic sales for the year. Are they evenly weighted by quarter, or did you actually sell more to domestic steel mills in the quarter than usual?
We sold about what we expected to. Most of the issues associated with export in the U.S. have been rail issues. We haven't really, from our exposure on the N&W for export, haven't seen too much in the way of disruptions or reductions. And the rail movements domestically from Logan, which is on the CSX, have been as expected and fairly regular. So the story for most is that the rail service has disrupted, particularly the CSX producers, but for export movement, but since we're shipping domestically on the CSX, we haven't felt that.
Okay. All right. Thanks. That's useful. Maybe back on the costs at Curra, and specifically on diesel costs. The oil price is up. We can all see $50 a barrel or thereabouts. Just curious to, how much diesel, you do use at Curra. I know you've got the drag lines there, but what is a sensitivity or what oil price is factored into your cost guidance?
Well, that's a lot of detail. That's a lot of detail, but and I believe I would have to go back to the books, but it's more than 200 million tons we consume at Curra diesel. That's probably an official number. I'll leave it there. But look, essentially, if the next question would be hedge, I think it's too late for a hedge. It would have been a big bet on the market anyway. But higher diesel prices is all correlated to higher gas prices, correlated to higher thermal coal prices, correlated to higher met coal prices. So we have got we're in a position where we have got a natural hedge for our fuel costs. So it is of course reflected then in costs overall. Would have been nice to keep them low, inflation low, but the whole market is part of this at the moment, and we benefit from profoundly higher met coal prices as that correlates somehow.
Okay, thanks. And last one, just more of housekeeping, actually, just on the CapEx spend of $40 million, below the run rate for the full year to achieve full year guidance of $170-$190 million. Yet you were doing some box cuts and some capital works at Curra during the period. How do I square that away? I guess does that just mean that you still have some CapEx in the second half on box cuts, et cetera?
Yeah, it's still within the guidance range, and there's clearly a ramp up here, similar to the production as well. But there's clearly a ramp up with what Douglas is doing at Curra. So we are comfortable that we're going to hit guidance.
This is a standard phenomenon since we budget on the basis of commitments, and they show up in our costs on the basis of expenditures. So you would have this kind of lag.
Accrual versus cash, got it. Okay, thanks. Thanks very much, gents. That's it for me.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the number 1 on your telephone keypad and wait for your name to be announced. Your next question comes from David Baker from Baker Steel. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thanks. Thanks for taking my call. I'm just looking. Your revenue seems to be up about $172 million quarter on quarter, and your cash is up $7 million quarter on quarter if I take into account the dividend. And your costs, when I look at it, seem to be up about $67 million. So I just can't reconcile why your cash isn't higher, notwithstanding that it's a good number. But I just I'm a bit lost here.
I think what you refer to is our cash earnings in the first quarter. It's impacted by a profound working capital movement. And that's just simply a combination of extremely high prices and payment terms. So you got to factor that in.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And again, I'd reiterate, I think the dividend, although it's nice having this 1 cent, I'm not convinced it's, I think it probably does more harm than good giving half a cent
twice a year. I just think it's silly. I accept that basically, you know, you're trying to send a message, but I think it's a weak message.
I can appreciate that. We have some constraints in our bond structure, our current bond structure, but we've made the statement. We believe it's a firm statement, and we'll leave it at that.
Thanks. And one other question. When you're talking, I think Paul said something about production being something like 12 million tons per annum from Curra. And would that be a sellable target or a production target?
Gerard?
That's both. So it's a production target, so clean tons, which converts into saleable. So it's both saleable and production.
So, okay. Great. Thanks so much.
Yep.
Thank you. There are no questions at this time. I'll now like to hand back to Gary for any closing remarks.
Thank you. And thank you, everyone, for participating in the call today. Should you have any follow-up questions, please reach out to our investor relations team. In closing, Coronado has delivered strong first quarter results and will continue to build on these results in coming quarters. On behalf of the board and executive team, I thank all Coronado employees for their efforts in ensuring our business remains a leading independent producer of steelmaking coal globally. Thank you.
Thank you. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.